The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 13, verse 32 to 35. It is page 210 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. We tell you the good news, what God promised our forefathers. He has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. As it is written in the second Psalm, "You are my son, today I have become your father." The fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words. I will give you the holy and sure blessings promised to David. So it is stated elsewhere, you will not let your Holy One see decay. Amen. Coming upon the Family Sunday, a member of our church sent a very moving story to me. And I would like to read this story to you. My hometown is Gyeongnam Province, Hancheong. It is still a relatively poor place. But my father, although our family didn't have the money, and I wasn't all that smart, sent me away to a school at Daegu City. I went to Daegu Intermediate School, but I didn't want to study. Among the 68 kids among my class, I ranked 68th. The last place. As I headed to my hometown with that shameful report card, even in my childish mind, I couldn't dare think of showing it. My father wanted to make up for his regret in not being educated through his child, but I ended up being the last in the class. When I thought of my father, a tenant farmer who had to go without meals sometimes, but who had thought of sending his son to a junior high school, I couldn't just sit there. After thinking for some time, I fixed the report card, which was written in ink, to say that I ranked first place in class and showed it to my father. Since my father didn't even go to elementary school, I thought that he would never know that I fixed my report card. And since the son who went away to study at Daegu City came home, the relatives all came by to ask whether I had studied well. My father said, well, we'll have to wait and see, but this time around anyway, he seems to have ranked first in his class. The relatives said Myungsun, meaning the name of my father. You lucked out with your child. If you earned the first place, you should throw a party in that honor. At that time, my family was the poorest in the village. The next day, I came back from swimming in nearby river and found my father in the middle of giving a party for our village people after having butchered our only pig. That pig was our number one asset. Unbelievable thing was happening. I called out, Father, but I couldn't finish my sentence, and I ran outside. I heard someone calling after me, but I became scared, went down to the river wanting to die, and tried to hold my breath in water. I also hit my head with my fists. After that shocking incident, I changed, because that incident was always at the back of my mind. 17 years later, I became a professor. And when my son entered junior high, so when I had turned 45 one day, in order to apologize for what I did 33 years ago, I started to say, Mother, actually that first place I earned when I was in junior high, but my father was listening, was smoking a cigarette next to her, said, I knew about it, and that's enough. Minu, his grandson, is listening. Minu is the son of the person who wrote this story. Although I've earned a doctorate degree and I'm a professor and a president of a university, I still cannot dare fathom the hearts of my parents who butchered their only pig, their number one asset, to give a party when they knew their son had faked the grades. Now, this story was told to me by Park Chan-seok, the former president of Gyeongbuk University. It is a moving story that illustrates well the limitless love of parents that a child cannot begin to understand. Now, how do we come to be who we are today? It is due to the love of our parents. When we were growing up under them, how many times did we lie to them? They didn't let them pass because they didn't care or they were ignorant. They knew it, but they pretended to believe us. It's because they loved us. And how many times did we cause heartaches for our parents? But even when they were hurting inside, they didn't show it. Why? Because they loved us. It was not just once or twice they willingly gave up the number one assets for us. Why? Because they love us. In proportion to how much they loved us, their lives were spent away. In proportion to how much lives they were, their lives were spent away, our lives grew. Because of that love, we are able to be who we are and stand here today. If so, then how could we, the children, pay back that love? Could we do so by pinning a carnation on their chest on Mother's Day? In celebration of Parents' Day, should we give them millions of dollars and take them out to eat? Would that be a way to pay them back for their love? My mother, before she passed away, was bedridden for 3 years. To lie in bed without being able to move for 3 years must have been an incredible suffering for her. But for me, who watched her, it was a period of grace. My mother lived as a faithful Christian her whole life, and until she took to bed, she never skipped a morning prayer, and in every moment in her life, her life's priority was always God. Without faith, her life simply could not exist. My mother, during the 3 year in bed, showed me what a Christian confronting death that is nearing each second should end one's life. And so that period of 3 years, was a special time of grace in which I learned things that could not be learned by reading any book on this earth. She called people so she could undo any knots that had come between them and her, and to share things that should be shared with others, and to dispose of things that should be thrown away. And every day, she organized her affairs as a person who will soon be standing before God. One day, she called me to confide a worry that was deep in her heart that she couldn't resolve on her own, and she confided in me not as her child, but as a believer seeking counsel from her pastor. She said she's organizing everything so she could get ready to stand before God, but there is one thing that was impossible in reality. It was that she didn't do all to fulfill her filial duty to her parents. God, in the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments, clearly said, honor your parents. But no matter how she thought about it, While her parents were living, she had not done all to honor her parents. But her parents were no longer on earth. There was no way that she could show more piety. And so, how could she stand before God who commanded her to honor her parents? This is what I said to her. Mother, you know, the love of parents flows one way from top above to below. What child in this world could possibly wholly pay back the love that he received from his parents? With that one-way downward love that you received from your parents, didn't you love your children? By loving us with the love that you received, you have already paid back the love you received from your parents and have done all your filial duty. Next time, when you stand before God, He will, I am certain, will say that you've done well. After that, until that she left this earth, she no longer worried about standing in front of God when she had not done all to fulfill her filial duty. As water always flows to a lower place, the true love always flows one way from above to downward. And there's no one who could love God as much as the love of God given down to man. Therefore, for a man to say that he loves God means that for that person to become a channel of that love so that the love can flow down to others. This is the same for love of parents. There is no child on this earth who can pay back the love the child received from the parents. Therefore, for a child, doing his filial duty and honoring his parents amounts to letting that love pass on to his children without diminishing in any way. It is to become the channel of that love. Just in the same way that his parents loved him. It is for him to love his children. In one word, it is to become good parents who genuinely, in the proper way, love their children. There is no better way to honor one's parents than by loving one's children in genuine and proper way. Then what does it mean to become good parents? Let's take a look at verse 32 of today's verse. We tell you the good news, what God promised our fathers. Here, the subject "we" refers to Paul and Barnabas. Paul and Barnabas from Perga, they crossed the rough peaks of Mount Taurus and came to Pisidian Antioch. They went to Jewish synagogue on a Sabbath day, and by request of the synagogue leaders, Paul ended up giving a sermon. The reason that Paul's sermon, which we've been looking at for the past 12 weeks, is important is because it is the first systematic sermon of Paul that appears in the Acts. As we know already, the main subject of that sermon is God, and the essence of it is Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at verse 30 to 31. But God raised him from the dead, and for many days he was seen by those who had traveled with him from Galilee to Jerusalem. They are now his witnesses to our people. The Jewish leaders had put the Lord to death by nailing him to the cross, and his body was laid in a tomb. But God raised him from the state of being a dead body. The Lord who lived again by God. Showed his resurrected self for many days to people traveling together from Jerusalem to Jerusalem from Galilee. The people who went from Galilee to Jerusalem were the disciples who had followed the Lord in Galilee. At the most critical moment when Jesus died on the cross, they had run away in fear. But after seeing the resurrected Lord, they risked their lives to become the witnesses of the Lord's resurrection. Therefore, Apostle Paul, in talking about himself and Barnabas, testified that they too, like those from the Galilee, will tell of the Lord. Although Paul and Barnabas were not from the Galilee, and they were not the direct disciples of Jesus who had seen him while he was on this earth, but because they were also the Christians who were called by the resurrected Lord, they too were telling like the people from Galilee, meaning that they too were living as the witnesses of the Lord. Therefore, the we that appear in today's text not only refers to Paul and Barnabas, but to all of us who are facing today's text today. Because we too are Christians who have been called by the resurrected Lord, we come to realize that we must also live a life as the Lord's witness who tell of him. Our word 전파 하다, or to tell, which in Greek means euangelizo, means to tell the good news. What is the good news that Christians should pass on as the witness of the Lord? Let us take a look at verse 32 again. We tell you the good news, what God promised our fathers. So, the good news that Christians are to pass on is what God promised our forefathers. The Greek phrase, which has been translated as a promise given to our forefathers, if translated accurately, means the promise which was fulfilled for our forefathers. The importance of a promise is not in the promise itself. There are so many promises that just simply as a promise. The content of the promise is important, yes, but the true life of promise is in keeping it. Therefore, promise which was fulfilled for our fathers means that not only that promise was given, but that promise was subsequently fulfilled for them by God. What is the concrete content of their promise? And when was it fulfilled? Let's take a look at verse 33. He has fulfilled for us, their children, by raising up Jesus. The content of the promise was that God raised up Jesus from among the dead. The promise that was given to God, given to Israel's fathers, became to be true at the time of the children of Israel. Let's take a look at the latter portion of verse 33. As it is written in the second Psalm, "You are my son. Today I have become your father." You are my son. Today I have become your father. It's the word from Psalm 2, verse 7, is also the word of God given to the fathers of Israel, that in order to save men from sin and death, he would send his son to this earth. And that promise also became fulfilled when God's only son, the Lord, came to this earth. Verse 34, the fact that God raised him from the dead, never to decay, is stated in these words, "I will give you the holy and sure blessing promised to David." God, 700 years before the Lord came to this earth, through prophet Isaiah, said the following, Isaiah chapter 55, verse 3, "Give ear and come to me. Hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David." God, to the fathers of Israel, made an eternal promise that he would allow the faithful love promised to David for them. And that promise was that God, by raising up our Lord, the descendant of David, whom he sent among the dead, so that he would become the Lord of eternal life that will never see decay. And that promise also became fulfilled by God in the Lord breaking through death and living again. Today's text, verse 35. So it is stated elsewhere, "You will not let your Holy One see decay." You will not let your Holy One see decay. The words from Psalm 16, verse 10, was a promise that pointed to the Lord. And that promise also became fulfilled by the Lord's resurrection caused by God. In this way, all of the promises that God made to the fathers of Israel became fulfilled by God at the time of children of Israel. That the Messiah sent by God to this world to pay for men's sins would die on the cross, but overcame death to live again and free men from fetters of sin and death. That this promise became fulfilled in the history of men is something that is beyond miracle. How could such incredible event take place at the time of children of Israel? It was possible because the fathers of Israel believed in that promise, because they pursued after that promise, because they believed in that promise and passed them on to their children as inheritance. Because they etched that words of promise onto the hearts of their children. And so their children they saw the glory of that promise being fulfilled during their time. And as a result, the promise transcended time and place to become fulfilled for the fathers of Israel. Today, as we come upon Family Sunday, there are three words that call our attention from today's text. There are our fathers, we, and our children. As I said already, the word we points to Paul and Barnabas, and our fathers points to the forefathers of Israel, and our children points to the children of Israel. So today's text, today's text could be understood as just as the forefathers of Israel passed on the words of promise as inheritance, so Paul and Barnabas would also pass on the promise of God to the children of Israel. This is the first level meaning of today's text, but at the same time, on this Family Sunday, we can find yet another meaning in the same text. The persons of we, who are in between our fathers and our children, can also mean parents. A parent is a parent to their children, but at the same time, they're also the children of their forefathers. Therefore, today's text tells us that as our forefathers passed on the word of promise and became the parents of faith, Paul and Barnabas and us too, become the parent of faith, the fathers of faith who pass on this word of promise onto our children. This is the message that God wants to give to us through today's passage on this Family Sunday. Every person on this earth was born as someone's child, and when the time comes, he will become someone's parent. And after he leaves this earth, he will become somebody's forefather, except for special cases. There is almost no exception to becoming someone's parent and someone's forefather. If there is a difference, it is in what kind of parents, what kind of forefather one becomes. If so, then going back to the question we asked ourselves before, what kind of parents are good parents? And what kind of ancestors are good ancestors? Without saying more, it is to fill oneself with the words of God first and to fill the children's hearts whom we love with that words. It is to become a parent of faith, an ancestors of faith in that manner. In the next hour, we will talk about this in more detail, but if we try to raise our children only with the worldly things, we only will end up corrupting our children. It is only by the eternal words of God, the words of God that could overcome death itself, we can save our children eternally. So, to say that we will be living as the witnesses of the Lord in this world means not only to our children, but in the same way as Paul and Barnabas of today's text, to love every person on this earth and thereby becoming the parents of faith, the forefathers of faith for them as well. There is no other greater filial piety, no better way to honor one's parents and one's forefathers than that. To stand as the parents of faith before our children means is to magnify the love that we received from our parents within Jesus Christ, sublimating it to eternity. And so therefore, we cannot give greater glory to our parents and our ancestors than that. The couple Amram and Jochebed were slaves in Egypt. But they went against the order of the Egyptian pharaoh, Pharaoh's order to kill any son born to slaves, and spared Moses, their son, in believing the promise of God. And by Moses, the Israel people were freed from 400 years of slavery in Egypt that was like death. If Amram and Jochebed were not the parents of faith who tried to keep to God's word with their lives, there would not have been the great history of Exodus that came true through their son Moses. Amram and Jochebed, by becoming the parents of faith, and Moses, by becoming the leaders of Israel who fulfilled Exodus, became children who most honored their parents. Moses also, by passing on the word of God and leading them to Canaan, and thereby becoming the parents of faith for them, became the good son who did his filial duty to pay back the love of his parents, who saved him in faith. On this family Sunday, do you wish to become good parents? Then let us abandon the foolishness of demanding worldly things from our children and to regard our children fulfilling our wish for worldly things as filial piety. That is the shortcut to making the children become distant from us. Let us help our children to stand upright only by the words of faith and allow them to grow up to become the good parents of faith. There's no other greater filial piety than that. That is to see the words of promise become fulfilled by the lives of our children. It is to connect ourselves to our children in eternity. Do you wish to become the good children who show filial piety to your parents? Then let us abandon the foolishness of doing our filial piety only with the worldly things. Let us rather make ourselves into good parents until the day that we return to the Lord. That is to magnify the love that we have received from our parents and to sublimate it in eternity in the love of Jesus Christ. To live as good Christians means for everyone, regardless of age or gender, it is to make oneself into good parent of faith, good fathers of faith, because the starting point of this world is the family, and it is always the case that parents exist before children, and it is never the case that good parents make good parents, but always the case that good parents make good children. Let us pray. Abraham, who received the promise of God, believed in that promise, and threw his life on that promise, and he did all his responsibility as the parent of faith, implanting their word of promise in the soul of his son, Isaac. Isaac, by becoming a parent of faith, fulfilled his filial duty to his father, Abraham, and duty of love to his son, Jacob. And this was the same for Jacob. God fulfilled his word of promise that they believed in and passed down through the lives of each generation of their descendants, and thereby made his word of promise come true to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in eternity. And as a result, they all became the eternal fathers of faith. In greeting this meaningful Sunday for family today, you have made us realize that becoming a true Christian means to become good parents of faith, good forefathers of faith. Allow us not to forget that becoming good parents of faith, good forefathers of faith, is the greatest good we can do for our parents who have given us life, and the greatest love that we can show to our children who have received life from us. Help those who are preparing for marriage to look after themselves with your words of promise, so that they can become parents of faith. And for those who have already become parents, help them to live as parents of faith who live in the words of promise until they are called to you. Through the words of your promise, help them to become parents of faith, not only to their children, but to many people of this world, holding them with their generous embrace. Through us who live as the parents of faith, who believe in your words, a promise, and pass them on, may many people taste and come to know one way downward love of God, and thereby may the place where we happen to stand become the place of a big family overflowing with your abundant love. In the name of Jesus Christ, I prayed. Amen.